This is Welcome to the Mosaic Garden with Christy Ellen. To connect with the show today, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to healingart.kp@gmail.com. Now, back to Welcome to the Mosaic Garden.
Welcome back to the garden. I am really excited today to be talking about the art of allowing. And my guest today is Jamie Lerner. And she's a co-author of the book, The Ever-Loving Essence of You. Her most of the time she's working with children, adults, and couples as she helps them look at the art of allowing. She never positions herself as an expert at anything, but always reminds you that it is you who knows the best for you always. I found that very interesting, Jamie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
So let's talk about that for a moment, that you're not an expert in anything because you're teaching people that they know the best for what they need to do. Is that correct? Or can you shed some light on that?
Yes, this is true. So originally I was trained as a psychotherapist, and I really shifted gears because I felt that we were not really helping people by asking them to continually look backward. When in fact, what was most important is for them to begin to trust themselves, understand who they are, and know that they are the best experts for themselves, and then to be able to identify what they're wanting and move forward. So I never position myself as an expert, and what I really try to do is assist people in assisting themselves to shifting from where they are to where they would like to be. And the art of allowing is a lovely practice that really helps people move about the world in a very joyous and free way and form unconditionally loving relationships with others.
So explain more about how the art of allowing helps a person move forward, has the forward movement.
Allowing is more of a practice or an art. And allowing is not tolerating. Allowing is different from tolerating because when you tolerate someone or something, you're really putting up with that. But to allow is to embrace people's decision to be who they want to be for themselves without having to take that choice on. So when we're able to embrace another for who they present themselves to be without asking them to be different so that we will feel better, that is a lovely way to interact with somebody else. However,
I like that.
In order to authentically do that, we really need to allow ourselves to be who we are and where we're at in the moment. And the clearer that we are about where we are and what we're choosing for ourselves, the easier it becomes to allow others to make that choice for themselves.
So when you go inside and you do your own inner work and you allow yourselves to be who you really are, then it opens the door for other people to do that as well.
I think so. And sometimes just giving people permission to be who they are and where they're at is, you know, enough for them to entertain that thought and become curious about that. Because clearly, we as children, we grow up being coached to look outside of ourselves for another's response in order to determine how we feel about something. And that's really, I think, what creates unauthentic connection with ourselves and with others.
So how do you keep your boundaries when you're allowing others to have their experience? Because you're having your experience, and I know that most of us out there realize that our experiences are different from each other. We may be experienced and another person is not. How do you keep your safe boundaries when you're allowing someone else to have their experience around you?
Well, I think that when we decide to have no judgment and we can accept another person for who they are and where they're at in their life without having a point of view about it, then it feels really good. We remain connected to ourselves and we allow the other person to be where and who they are. So So I think the key is not to take it on. So in a little while
what is,
ago,
what does that mean? Yeah, what does that mean not to take it
on? So a little while ago, you were explaining, I believe it was a relative that you know, her choice about putting locks on her door to feel safe. So, you know, it's to interact with that person with the most loving compassion, understanding that that's just where she is, and that's perfectly fine because yes. It really doesn't have anything to do with you, and then you are going to move about the world in that neighborhood being who you are. And when two people can respect the differences without judgment, it really allows for an amazing unconditional connection.
Yes, because no matter what I say or do, it's not my business what she's doing. I haven't had her experiences to be in that position. I know that when I do walk around the neighborhood, it makes her uncomfortable and she wishes I wouldn't. But
because
that's
she's
my
not
experience.
In an allowing place. But if she were mm-hmm. in an allowing place, if she felt very clear and comfortable about her choice, she would feel more comfortable about your choice. And I think that's the key, and that's where we practice this art of allowing. How can we become so clear about where we are in this moment for ourselves? And when we do so, it becomes so easy to allow another to make that choice for themselves.
So we're kind of coming into what I wanted to ask you about, how this way of being can change our lives. And you're starting to talk about that. Tell me a little bit more about how this could change each person that's listening's life when they're open to allowing.
Well, it feels really good. If you're in a situation and people are talking about something that is not resonating with you or something that you are not comfortable with, you know, it's really a nice thing to excuse yourself. But to excuse yourself without the judgment around whatever is going on, that allows you to really remain connected to yourself. And I think that the most important thing that we can do for ourselves is remain connected to ourselves at all times. And then we stay connected to other people. So the reason...
When you can excuse yourself without judgment, that's a nice form of self-love, is it, that you can
actually... Yes, it is.
Actually,
it's the highest form of self-love, without judgment of self or other.
And have you always had that ability to have self-love for yourself? Have you always felt that in your life?
Me personally?
Yeah, in your personal life.
That's my superpower, that I am, you know, always connected to myself under all circumstances. And I have to say that, you know, I have children and grandchildren and people in my life that really at times are very frustrated by that, because whatever it is that they're doing, no matter what that behavior is, their choice does not affect me. I do not become unhinged. I do not become reactive. I do not allow myself to disconnect from myself in any way. And I think that sometimes that's misinterpreted as that I don't care or that I'm detached. But in fact, it's really respecting the other person and allowing them to be where they are in that moment, knowing that that does not have anything to do with me.
Well, how did you get that ability to have that connection with yourself?
I think we're all born with this. And
okay.
I think that, you know, as time goes on and we interact with parents and authority figures and just life and contrast, that we practice ourselves away from the authentic connection that we have to our inner knowing and our inner being. So
we're born with that. We come in as a child. We have that ability to be connected, but somewhere along the way we're losing that, because then at some point in time, We're adults and midlife trying to figure out how to love ourselves again. So what happened and how did they get back on? How do we? There's not a they, but there's an us and a we. How do we get back onto loving ourselves again?
You know, I think when we become clear for ourselves, the decisions that we're making, instead of looking outside of ourselves for approval, but we remain, focused on how we're feeling about decisions that we're making, how we are taking personal responsibility for how that feels for us, not being dependent on how others are going to feel about that. I think that is such a wonderful form of self-love. And when we're certain for ourselves, I think that other people respect them.
Yeah, because no one loves you more than you love yourself. You put out that energy of however you're feeling that day. I know that we can get up and we can feel really good about ourselves and go out and have a wonderful day, and then the next day wake up and not feel good about ourselves because of something. I don't know, something we ate, something we did. I know I would go on this emotional roller coaster where one day I felt like my body was beautiful, the next day, 24 hours later, I felt like it was fat. So you're saying that you don't have that, or you've been able to have the ability to discern or move yourself away from that? Is that what I'm understanding from that?
Yes,
those emotions?
I've always trusted myself, and I've always looked inward for that guidance and really believed that that was the only place that that guidance was true. So, and it feels really good when you trust yourself and you know yourself and you love yourself. And what I can say is oftentimes what people are thinking that other people are thinking about them is actually what we're thinking about ourselves.
That is true. So, that is true. I know that most people are more concerned with their own selves, and they're really not looking to see what you're wearing and what you're doing. They're not really paying that much attention.
No, they're not. But when we're able to have these loving conversations with ourselves, and I really believe that the most important relationship that we'll ever have is the one that we have with ourselves moment by moment. And that is the foundation for every other relationship that we go on to have. As a matter of fact, how we feel about ourselves, there's a direct correlation with how then we feel about others. If we love ourselves, we love all others. If we're angry at ourselves, we're angry most of the time at others.
How has that self-love helped you move your life forward, and what has it doors have opened for you that may not have opened had you not had that?
Well, I think that when I was growing up, I was very rebellious. I grew up in a very wonderful environment. In my home, there was a lot of allowing, and there was a lot of permissiveness. And we really were encouraged to trust ourselves, and that was wonderful. But oftentimes I was confronted by teachers or adults or institutions that really was not interested in my free spiritedness. And instead of internalizing that and feeling bad about it, I was able to really understand it, that whatever this was that was going on, it was not about me. And so I think that if we are able to take a step back and understand everybody else's behavior is a reflection of themselves, not us, but that's a very helpful thing. Although it means not reacting, it means taking a moment, taking a breath, understanding that if someone is confronting us, asking us, ourselves, does this really have anything to do with me? And 99% of the time, it does not.
I remember Wayne Dyer once sharing a comment that what other people think of me is none of my business. And to be able to move into that place. But, society does want people to fit into a mold a lot. And I'm one of those people that wears something different just to wear something different. I never have fit into that society mold of things. But I know a lot of people struggle with trying to figure out how they can be themselves in a mold that's trying to tell them that the more you have, the more you are.
I think that that's a choice, and I think that sometimes we use the outside world as an excuse to not create the relationship with ourselves. So it's important that you make a choice and take personal responsibility for what you're choosing, which is what you talked about earlier. Because if we are trying to please the outside world, it never will happen. No matter what is going on, someone will have a point of view about what we're doing or saying. So that probably is not going to work. What would work better is when we have our point of view about ourselves, when we understand that who would know better for me than me? Nobody. There's nobody that knows better for me than me.
That's true. When you're out there trying to please everyone else, you get to be you have to be so many different people, wear so many different masks. It can honestly get exhausting. I think that I see that going on around us where people are trying so hard to be this person at work, this person at home, this person around their friends. And when you meet somebody who is authentically who they are, a lot of people don't know how to take that. They don't know how to be in the presence of someone who's really real because there's been some distrust. What would be your advice to people that are out there trying to build new love relationships, let's say, and they're trying to move into a loving relationship, but they're just not sure if that person they're meeting is authentically who they say they are? Is there any ways to know that, to be able to discern that?
I think that where we are in this moment is what we attract into our experience. So whatever it is that we are attracting, I think, is a reflection of where we are. So if we are loving ourselves, we will attract another that is also loving themselves. If we are not loving ourselves, we probably will not attract another who is loving themselves. And can we expect another to love us if we do not love ourselves? No, we cannot.
Yeah, we won't be vibrating at the same level,
The nice thing that I have found is that when I move about the world and come across people, all kinds of people, and I also travel a lot, I am such a relaxed, allowing person that it kind of allows people to take a breath. It kind of allows people, it's disarming. My presence is very disarming to everybody because I have no judgment. I'm so incredibly comfortable with who I am and where I am that I just allow everyone around me to be who and where they are. And that feels really good. It feels so good to me. It feels so good to others. And it allows me, without saying anything to other people, to connect with them in such an intimate way.
So do you open up to them? Do you open up to them in conversation and share things about yourself? Or
no, I don't share anything about myself. It was more of a vibration. It's more like standing next to someone and just being so at ease. And all of a sudden, you watch the person you're standing next to. All of a sudden, they're really at ease because the only thing that you are, sharing with them is just this unconditional love and acceptance.
So you're sharing that through a vibration of just being quiet and not even having a communication of language, but a communication through the energy field of another person.
Yes. And then I'm very approachable. If someone approaches me, I'm so happy to talk with them or whatever. But, it's so interesting how often we can interact with people without speaking, just very, I guess, on a vibrational level. And it's very nice, You can just make eye contact with someone and for a moment and feel a connection.
I think sometimes we get a little nervous. I say we because, I've done that too. In sitting in a situation where it's so quiet, it always feels like we need to talk, that there needs to be conversation. And that talking can get in the way of actually having a connection with another person, because listening isn't just about the communication of vocal in the ears. That you're talking about an energy source of listening, so that you open up to this energy of listening. I can be on a bus places and people will sit down next to me and start telling me their story, and if I just listen, something changes in their vibration, and they may have sat down feeling sad, then they leave smiling. Have you had those experiences in your life as well?
I have, and I attribute whatever it is that they leave with as their own. So, I think that when we're amongst other people, we are responsible for where we are and who we are, and we allow all others to come and go with whatever they choose. But I don't feel that I am giving anyone anything, per se.
Okay. So you're just being yourself, and then whatever they get out of it is their experience. Is that correct?
Exactly. That's allowing them to take or not, whatever it is. Exactly. So I have zero expectation.
Well, that's also
really nice.
What I wanted to ask you is, how did you discover this in your own life? So you really just had it mirrored to you by your parents, and you automatically knew to do this? There wasn't a point in time in life that you discovered more about the art of allowing in your own personal life?
You know, Abraham Hicks is a huge influence for me. Mm-hmm. She is like my mentor and my teacher. So a lot of the art of allowing came through her teaching. And I think that because I really do not take the credit for anyone else's growth or anyone else's anything. So when we remove our ego, I think that we're really in such a wonderful place to receive people differently.
Yeah, I enjoy their work as well. And I know a lot of you out there have listened to the vibration and the conversation with being present in the moment and the art of allowing. I would like to talk a little bit more about how we change what we program to feel. We're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, if you would share with us how we change how we're programmed to go right into the feelings of guilt and anger and resentment and all of those lower vibrations. So if you stay tuned, she'll share with you when we come back. And we'll be right back with Jamie Lerner in just one moment. Thank you, Jamie.
It's time to live an inspired life. Join Christy Ellen, the Mosaic Shaman, as she enhances the quality of your life. Healing with art is Christy's focus. At soulhealerpath.com, if you follow the steps and use the skill that Christy Ellen teaches in Soul Healers Path Life Coaching, doing your part and taking 100% of the responsibility for your life, changing your life story, then in 1 year's time, you could be living the inspired life of your dreams. Soul Healers Path Life Coaching offers 4 life coaching packages, starting with the Serpent Path, which is all about awareness and letting go of what you do not want to have, and embracing what you do. Go to Soul Healer's Path and sign up for a 1-month session of clearing the light body. So come and walk the medicine wheel with Christy Ellen. Visit soulhealerpath.com or call 435-260-9598 for a special newcomer's 1-month coaching package for just $300. Christy Ellen is an intuitive healer and master creator. Let her guide you to living the life to which you were born to live. And go from ordinary to extraordinary.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
This is Welcome to the Mosaic Garden with Christy Ellen. To connect with the show today, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to healingart.kp@gmail.com. Now, back to Welcome to the Mosaic Garden.
Welcome back to the garden. We're having conversation in the garden about the art of allowing with my guest, Jamie Lerner. She is the co-author of the book, Ever-Loving Essence of You. And we've been talking and sharing in the garden about these feelings of emotions, and how do we, Jamie, go from going right back into the programs that we seem to have accumulated over time of feeling such as guilt and wanting to please people, because we've talked a little bit about that. So how do we deal with those programs when they show up?
Well, I think that we can slowly begin to make the shift from resenting others who come in and out of our lives to appreciating all of those experiences when we understand that we have vibrationally attracted them. So we can become curious and look at situations and people as powerful indicators of where we are in this moment.
So let's talk about what you just said about vibration and attracted them. How do we vibrationally attract someone into our lives?
Well, sometimes it's residue. And I would say 90% of the time it's vibrational residue. So when we're young and we go through life, we just pick up a lot of vibrational residue that is not ours at all. It's, you know, things that we've heard in our homes. It's feelings that our parents had. It's feelings that our siblings had or people in our life. And we kind of like pick them up, these little sound bites. And they really have nothing to do with us. But then without really even realizing it, we've created this whole story about where we are in our life. And 90% of the time, it's not even true. So to begin to understand what is that story that, you know, you're incessantly telling yourself and others, and first of all, does it feel good? Probably not. But if it does feel good, then that story is working for you. If it doesn't feel good, you know, to take a moment and to try to untangle what that story is and to figure out what does that really have to do with you and your now. And I really like to encourage people to look at their life right here and now in this moment instead of, you know, what happened to them all those years ago.
So staying present in the moment, staying here in this moment, will help change the story, because you want to know what your story is. How important is it to know some of the past to be able to heal the future, or is it important just to stay in the now and not really even go back into your past? What's your points on that?
I think there are only two reasons to look back. One reason is to revisit something that felt really good and to revisit it as often as possible. And then the second reason to look back is to look to see if there's some vibrational residue and try to untangle it very quickly, move it forward so that you can get on your merry way.
So how do you untangle it?
What I like to ask people to do is to look at whatever happened then from their right here and now adult perspective. Because when we are able to look at then from right now, it looks very different.
From then, from right now, it looks different. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're dealing with a childhood trauma that happened, but you see yourself in your midlife and you're 40, 50 years old, you're not that child there. So you can look at that and say, I can take care of that. I can heal you. I can be there for you. So that child part doesn't come back up. Is that one of the steps you use with your clients?
And really celebrate all of your strengths as where you are right here and now. And I think that that's very helpful for people. A lot of people don't realize that is even an option.
So when you're working with clients, you use this for them to look at their story, but not to get into it and entangle it by realizing where they are now is in a safe place compared to where they may have been. Is that how you move forward?
Exactly, to understand it from our right here and now perspective, because how we see what happened then, right now, is very different. We're in a different place. You know, it's 40 years later. So the story changes.
Yeah, we're talking about
here. In such a way that when we understand it from our now perspective, it's much easier to move from where we are to where we'd like to be.
And will you repeat that one more time? I like what you just said there.
So when we understand what happened then, from our right here and now perspective, it becomes much easier to move forward from right here and now to where we'd like to be.
And leaving this story in the past by changing it. Because we say here, change your story, change your life. And the importance of changing that story is the key factor to making things come into your life that you want. The art of allowing. So the art of allowing is a lot connected to changing your story.
I think so. I think that when we're in a place of allowing, we're really connected to ourselves. We're allowing, you know, ourselves to be right here and now, and allowing others to be where they are. and understanding that where others are has nothing to do with us.
So in that place of allowing, you can let the good things come into your life. What happens when the bad things come into your life when you're in a place of allowing too? Because, I mean, we do live in a world of opposition. We've got to deal with the good and the bad at the same time to balance that out. I mean, I wish I lived in a perfect world where everything was happy all the time, but that's not always the experience. So when you're working with a client that comes to you with what I just asked you about, how would you lead me through that?
Well, I call anything other than what you're wanting contrast. And contrast is a beautiful thing because from contrast, we have clarity. So I welcome contrast all the time. Contrast is a way of becoming more clear about what I want. I don't believe there is any bad. I believe it's all just contrast. It's either what we're wanting or it's something other. And so I really encourage people to embrace the contrast and to understand it as a new clarity where we can then begin to see the light to move forward to.
So to have a new vision on looking at things as not good or bad, but just that they are that, and you can learn from them.
Absolutely.
And move forward from that.
You can learn what you want. Yeah, you can learn what you want. You're much clearer when something is not going your way. You're much clearer about what you are wanting. So to focus on what you're wanting and to quickly move towards that. Because what we think about is what we attract. When we think about what we do not want, we get more of what we do not want. But when we think about what we desire, we get so much more of what we desire. And that's really what it's all about.
Is that what your book, The Ever-Loving Essence of You, is about?
You know, The Ever-Loving Essence of You is a book about creating a long-term connected relationship with yourself. And once again, I believe that that is the most important thing that we can do, is create this relationship with ourselves and then create it with others if we're choosing to.
So it starts with yourself first. You create a relationship with yourself. Then you have something you can take out and share with others to create relationships with them.
Exactly.
And
authentic relationships.
The authentic relationships is like more the true self.
Exactly. And when you're connected to yourself, you are so welcoming others to authentically stay connected to themselves.
And you work with clients. How do you do that? And where can people find out more about your work?
I have a website. It's www.jamie-learner.com. And the way I work with clients is first go to my website and see if I resonate with you. Because once again, I think it's really important that you choose for yourself who you want to work with. And nobody would know better for you than you. So trust yourself. You get to decide that. But I ask people to take personal responsibility and to purchase a block of time and then to contact me and to let me know how much time they would like. So it really requires you knowing yourself, what you need, and then scheduling that time with me.
That's different approach to coaching. I like that approach. I don't know if you call it coaching. What would you call yourself, Jamie?
You know, I just assist people in assisting themselves. So okay. I think the part that is so wonderful about that is it becomes so empowering, self-empowering, when people understand that they do know what's best for themselves. You know, how would I know what you need? You know what you need in this moment, and it could change in the next moment. But it really gives people the sense that, yes, you know, you do know what's best for you, and how can I assist you in further knowing that?
So I like that. How can I assist you? How can I assist you in knowing what's best for you? That's a great way to approach things.
It's a really nice way for people, you know, to take personal responsibility and to trust themselves.
So you are a pioneer out teaching people how to go out and learn how to go inside and trust themselves. Maybe an assistant, a teacher, but just somebody who shows the way, like a way sayer, like the light I was talking about. You've opened your light, it's not under a bushel, you're shining it in the room and helping others see that they have a light too.
Yes, and I think that our responsibility as teachers is to be the living, breathing example. I think that's the best that we can do for people, is to walk our talk and to show people through our example of what's possible. And it really works well.
There's no ego
in this at all.
No, and showing from your example, we will draw others to you. Do you have a message that you would like to leave with our listeners here in the garden today?
I've never heard anyone ever say, I wish I hadn't trust myself. But I hear people all the time say, I wish I had trusted myself. So trust yourself, because you know, whether you don't know sometimes how or why you know, but you know, you always know for yourself. So trust that.
And again, where can they go and find more about you, Jamie?
www.jamie-lerner.com. And right. The book is available on Amazon. It's a short, sweet, very easy read.
Okay, and the name of the book again?
The Ever-Loving Essence of You.
Great. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for sharing time in the garden with us today. I appreciate that. And going out and teaching about the art of allowing, because that will change so many things. By changing your story, you change your life. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So go and look up jamie-lerner.com, and she's the author of the book, The Ever-Loving Essence of You, and learn more about the art of allowing. Thank you for spending time in the garden here today. I appreciate this time that we get to connect and be together. And listen in next week, where I'm having Sonia Crochet, who is a psychic medium, coming in and talking to us about sharing in the garden. Until then, namaste. May the light of love follow you.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to the Mosaic Garden. Christy Ellen hopes that you will join her on another journey next Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Empowerment Channel.